If this is kind of, I think it's cool because we've got good taste.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about our geeky media roundup. It's all the stuff we're excited about. Video games, movies, DVDs, television, and like one book.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover. I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Tim Wick.
I am over here on the other side of the table.
And today we are going to do a geeky media roundup.
Geeky media roundup.
Wow. So what that means is we are going to talk to you about all of the upcoming TV, DVDs, video games, movies,
whatever we can think of.
We're gonna do when it's cold and wintry out.
Yeah, because it's
is in about 2 weeks.
Maybe you're not from Minnesota. Maybe you're not from the frozen north. But we're all about to have to retreat into our little houses for like the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, it's gonna be a snowy winter. So it's gonna be a lot of house stuff.
Not looking forward to that shit at
yeah.
all.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have been scouring the interwebs for
at least five minutes.
Also, my own brain.
Even six.
Yeah, I know some stuff just in my head. I need to look it up.
You know head stuff?
I have some head stuff.
Wow.
So, because it is easy for me to remember because it's my job. So, Fantasy Flight has some stuff coming up I will talk about. Because we have Imperial Assault coming out. And that's going to be fucking incredible.
Is that the one that's Descent?
Yeah, it's like Descent. It's the same kind of game mechanic as Descent, Journeys in the Dark, second edition, in that it's a tile placement map dungeon, kind of a dungeon crawler thing, but it is ground assault. That's where you're going to get your AT-ATs and your AT-STs
and it's miniatures,
but it's also like board games. So I don't know. It's very cool.
Hmm.
I'm really excited for that. We've got some sick sculpts in that game. That's coming out.
My youngest is so totally into AT-ATs. He probably won't want to play the game. He'll just want to play with the AT-ATs.
Oh man, I will make that happen for you.
Yay!
And it's gonna have, of course, lots of expansion packs and everything because it's a Fantasy Flight game. So come on, you guys, come on.
Because it's American board games.
Yeah.
Or just board games.
Yeah. But I'm excited for that. And then the other thing we have that's coming up is Wave 5 for X-Wing, which is the IG 2000?
Is that the IG-88's robot
it's,
ship?
It's his ship. And then there's also Star Viper. I can't remember the order they're all coming out in. I feel really bad. But go to the upcoming page. You can see it. FantasyFlightGames.com.
I like X-Wing, and I haven't had enough time to play with it. And I really just need to get over to the Fantasy Flight Game Center.
Yeah.
And just play it.
I've never played without the intro rules. Like, I've never just, like...
We'll play it on MegaCon this year for real. Like, we'll play a real game.
All right, can we all agree, like sick X-Wing game?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a good table for that upstairs in the
I want to get some serious X-Wing time in and figure that game out and play with my kids more, because I've got like every fucking ship because they're awesome.
We
have all the stuff.
We'll bring it all. We'll have a good time.
Hey, you know what
so
else?
Speaking of other things we can play.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
The Guardians of the Galaxy expansion for the Legendary deck building game.
Oh, I love that game so much.
It comes out in like 3 weeks.
Before MegaCon?
Before MegaCon.
Yes.
So, and I've, man, on Board Game Geek, there's these really, really awesome dividers that you can print out. Because the game is just so many fucking different.
It does, and you don't get enough dividers.
No.
None of the expansion packs come with additional dividers. My only critique about the game.
We printed them up full color on cardstock, and I... had my
made at FedEx Kinko's.
Yeah. I had my line cutter, like my straight line wire guided, you know, cutter.
And Martha Stewart paper cutter.
It is my Martha. Well, no, I think that one's Fisker's, but my scoring board is Martha Stewart, yes. And so I made dividers that are full color art and all that. And I'm sure the same people that are doing them will make some for the Guardians of the Galaxy one.
I should do that.
So it'll be all nice and tidy.
My legendary set's a little bit kind of messed up. And I haven't gotten the Villains expansion yet either. So
we have it, and it's de-sprued and unpacked and everything, but unplayed.
Yeah, we haven't played it yet. We'll play
the map.
Okay.
You know, so Legendary has that board.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same board, except for it's mouse pad material.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
And so it rolls up into the box. There's a slot for it to stick in there rolled up.
So the cards don't slide around as much.
It doesn't slide on the table. There's none of that, you know, in boards where they're cut, they sometimes don't line up just right. It's totally flat.
There's no warping. There's no
And it's probably
ripping.
Cheaper for them.
I genuinely think that is going to be the future of boards, like, coming out pretty soon.
They're cloth.
Cloth or that kind of printed mouse paddy stuff.
Well, you know, they made all that mouse pad material, and then people stopped using mouse pads, and now it's just sitting around. What are you going to do with it, right?
I know,
And then they also have a mod for Legendary that they just came out with, which was like an Aliens skin.
It's the same game mechanics, but like different theme, different cards.
Is it the same company? And
Upper Deck.
Legendary Alien or something like that.
What's the company that does the DC card game? Their deck builder. It's the same that did the Penny Arcade. It's Cryptozoic, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All of their deck builder games, it's the same thing. It's like, it's the same mechanics you know and love with slight variations from intellectual property to intellectual property.
Yeah.
But basically, it's, you know, the same mechanics. So you learn how to play one way, and it's pretty easy to pick up another version
of it.
Play.
I want to try the DC deck building game, but I'm so kind of in love with Legendary that you know, I'm like, well, I could be doing this, or I could be playing Legendary.
I've heard good things about it. I have not heard the overwhelmingly fawning praise that I've heard about Legendary.
Yeah.
You know, it's October, so one game that I know is back in stores right now, I know because I just picked it up for actually my son Alex's birthday, which is Betrayal at House on the Hill. It seems like it's only around game stores around this time of year. But
we get a lot of customer service emails with people demanding replacement parts, or that they bought one and it's defective, and we have to say a lot that we don't make that game. it's kind of
hilarious.
Same size
box, similar kind of.
Seems like it would be one of ours, but yeah, it's funny.
But if you're into horror
games,
it's
a good game.
It's a really good game, and it's got a clever mechanic where there's a different end game.
Right. There's a twist.
There's a twist about, you know, halfway through the game.
And someone's betraying, because it's a betrayal at the house.
And there's 50 different scenarios. So the end game is different every time. Mm-hmm. Eventually you're going to
The first time I played that was with was at Convergence with a friend of the show, Hedge. And Christopher Baldwin, the guy who does the comic, the webcomic Space Trawler, which is an amazing webcomic that concluded. It's totally a complete story.
It's
like
fun.
You can buy it in trades and stuff. He's a fun guy.
I'm also, speaking of games, I am super excited because, and it's not what you think I'm going to say, Costume Quest got released today. Costume Quest. All right. This game.
It's the candy hunting.
It's like, okay, so you play as a little kid you gather, it's very simple, but like you gather candy, you get different costumes.
It's kind of fighting. Mario RPG.
It is a little Mario RPG. There's like this, there's story stuff. It's very adorable. Like
you change costumes, like changing classes in the Final Fantasy class system.
Yeah, or like Tanuki suit versus like this. Yeah, I don't know. It's super fun. I liked it a lot the first time around. It came out, I want to say, 3 years ago.
It was downloadable. It was
downloaded it on a whim, and I just loved it. So I found out today that it came out. The second version came out today. So I'm actually really excited to go home and play that. But that's not the big Xbox game I'm excited about, which is Assassin's Creed Unity.
Fucking A.
You guys are super Assassin's Creed.
No? Yeah.
It's historical fiction, it's sci-fi, it's
breaking people's
murder
necks.
Simulator.
Yeah,
which,
it's third person view, so I can play it and enjoy myself and not get sick.
This is the first time that they've totally rebuilt the engine for the game in since, you know, Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
And 'cause 3 and even the upcoming Rogue game uses the old engine, and Unity uses the new Unity engine, very cleverly named. But the guy was like, "Oh yeah, the bodily collisions alone were an extra 6 million lines of code. Like, just the amount of effort and work that's gone into it. And just today they released, like, gameplay trailers. It's got co-op.
Couch co-op?
No.
Damn
but,
it!
But it has co-op missions for, like, stealing treasure or assassinating people or, I think, scaling and climbing, like, mm-hmm. parkour stuff. But customizing your assassin's skills with the equipment and armor that you choose to wear.
That's nice.
And, like, spears as weapons and cool. just a whole bunch of new shit. And being able to free climb down instead of up so you can rapid descent.
So you're not just, like, you're
from
just
walking, like, off falling. An edge like a retard? Yeah.
I'm going to fall and catch myself, hopefully.
Yeah, right. No, it's free climb down. And there's actually, like, they've added a lot more of stealth elements. Rather than just not be seen, there is a low-profile stealth mode to hide behind things and crouch and all that. And it's... I'm just super psyched for it.
That comes out end of the month?
Yeah. Yeah. Comes out the end of the month.
So you guys, I mean, I've only got a Wii U, and it's mostly because I don't get into gaming enough to bother with the Xboxes. Yeah. But the new Smash Brothers is coming out for Wii U, and Alex is super into Smash Brothers, so there's probably going to be a lot of brawling going on in my house.
Well, the 3DS version just came out a week ago or something.
You can play as an Animal Crossing character, which is pretty awesome. The villager, as either the boy or the girl. And like that, I'm excited to see my little Animal Crossing girl smashing.
Animal Crossing character kick the ass.
Yeah!
Right?
You could make... your me, a character, a fighting character.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know about the Wii U version. I can't imagine they're going to have features in the 3DS version that they don't put on the Wii U.
Yeah, I would think.
With the exception of
Street Pass stuff. But yeah, you can make a custom fighter based on a me. And so people on, like, the Marvel subreddit were like, here's my roster. And they just made, like, a slew of Marvel characters.
That's awesome.
Just to
it's
make
fun.
Yeah, it's it looks cool. I haven't played it yet, but I know...
Big-headed Black Widow beat your Mario.
Yeah.
I think, like, Matt Savickle was saying that he has been playing that lately.
Been playing it nonstop since he got it?
I think he got a Phoenix Wright.
Wow. Oh, he still has the Phoenix Wright.
He's been playing through the
Layton crossover.
It's Phoenix Wright. He got that crossover.
One. He played that one. No, but he got a different Phoenix Wright.
There's another Phoenix Wright.
I think so.
There's so many games.
It's something he got used. It's not a new one. It's one of the older titles because he's been playing through those. So he's got to finish that first, and then I guess Brawl is going to seal his soul and we'll never see him again.
No, I understand.
That Alien game came out this week, too. Alien... I don't know.
Insurrection.
Is Insurrection? Is
I
that
think
what
it's
it is?
Alien Insurrection.
It's something, it begins with an I, for sure.
It's like...
But it's the Alien franchise. Space survival horror... One alien on a ship full of people murdering everyone.
Purportedly,
like, it's just like
very hard.
Yeah,
it should be.
Yeah,
and it tracks you by noise and by light and so you every door you open, every time you open a compartment to search, anytime you go up a ladder or jump down or run and you're panting and breathing. Like, that noise is attracting the alien to you, and it's hunting you down. And so, like,
all you gotta do is kill one alien, and it probably takes 50 hours.
Yeah.
You have, like, nothing to kill it in the game.
Yeah, because just like Ripley.
Yeah, it's not a military, it's like another mining group or whatever.
Awesome.
And there's...
Do you like get to play one character until they get killed, and then the next character?
Yeah, right.
And you basically gotta try... Save as many shipmates as you can.
I heard our friend Worm said that IGN gave it like a 5.6, but PC Gamer gave it a 9.8. So it's like reviews are all over the board.
Yeah.
Some people are saying it's amazing. Some people are like rage quit, like fuck this game. Like I'm returning it. It's so bad, kind of a thing. It's awesome.
I
love when things make like. The community get riled up.
Yeah, yeah. The trademark, like, motion detector, like, beep, beep, wave thing, you know?
Yeah.
Takes batteries that can run out. There's scarcity involved. Also, the noise it makes beeping, I think, can attract the alien.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It looks kind of fun.
What about, I don't know, what are there movies coming up that we're excited about?
Movies in the theater? I don't, you know. I mean,
Gone Girl is out right now, and I really am excited to see that. Jeremy Stomberg said that it was fucking awesome. It's David Fincher. Yeah. Which, yeah. David Fincher's my favorite. David Fincher and Wes Anderson go back and forth for my favorite director. They do such different stuff, I can't really choose. Sure. But I read the book just recently. I think I devoured that book. I read that book in maybe a day and a half.
Yeah, you spent through it.
It was amazing. It's so good. It's one of those books where, and the story, I mean, just the movie too. It's one of those stories where you going into it, you're like, oh, I got this. And then about not very long into it, things twist around. You're like, oh, shit. And then there's like three more significantly enormous twists / bombshells that are amazing. And that I have never seen in a story before. It really felt like something new. And I'm excited that it's Fincher because he did such a good job with Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. And it's a similar story in that way where it is, because Nick was asking me, he's like, is it supernatural? Is it like, I'm like, no, it's just drama. It is just suspense, mystery, kind of thrillery drama of what's happening in this moment in time to these people. I'm really excited to see it.
You know, Birdman comes out like this week, I think, on the one hand, disappointingly not based on the Harvey Birdman Attorney at Law series, but it's Michael Keaton. It's kind of the fact that they cast Michael Keaton in the role is like kind of like a nod to the whole Batman like needing thing. But have you seen the trailer for Birdman, Tim?
No, I haven't.
It's he's an actor who played a superhero role, the Birdman, who it became like his most iconic role. And he's constantly living in the shadow of this role and also trying to become, like, recognized as a legitimate actor.
But he's also a little washed up.
And he's also, like, kind of going nuts, it seems. Yeah. And, like, there's in the trailer, there's at least one scene of Michael Keaton in, like, tighty whities running through the streets, like, in the rain, screaming at people and stuff. So,
like,
I mean,
it seems like if Harrison Ford was Han Solo and then he was nothing else, like, big, like, just small bit, like he just got lucky with the Han Solo thing and it wasn't, and then he was trying forever to get that back, and everywhere he went it was like, hey, Han Solo, Han Solo, and the way that would turn a person nuts.
And then, like, after trying to become a legitimate actor, he gets offered to do, like, a sequel.
Yeah.
And his you know, artistic integrity is in limbo.
So when's that coming out?
I think this week, or next week, very soon.
Huh.
Big Hero 6.
Oh, the Disney, you've seen the ads for that,
yeah,
right?
I've seen that one.
It's based on a Marvel.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, not like a main continuity Marvel, but Marvel.
Interesting. It looks cute.
It looks cute as fuck.
It really does. I love robot/golem/alien, you know, companion movie with young boys or girl, young child who has, you know,
How to Train Your Dragon. I mean, Toothless. E.T.
It's good.
Yeah, it looks fun. That same week, Interstellar is coming out, and that one
I know like nothing about it except that everyone's very excited for it.
It's Christopher Nolan, which he makes problem movies in that. I mean, some of his storytelling is kind of whacked. But I don't know. I've always been okay with it.
I've never not liked a Christopher Nolan.
Because his ideas are so crazy, so huge that I can just kind of deal with the parts of it that don't make a total amount of sense.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy the way he's telling his story visually.
Did he do The Machinist? Was that him? Or was that
That was Christian Bale.
But who directed it? Anyway, he did Memento.
He did Memento.
For sure.
That's Christopher Nolan. What's Inception?
Yes.
And the three Batman films, two of which are very good. And
two of which are very good.
One of which is a problem film. See, even though I will argue that I like...
You think it was a problem, but he was born.
Duh.
See, there are parts of that movie I really liked. It's just that... It didn't hold together. A lot of it didn't hold together, but there are parts that I'll defend.
I liked that movie. When I saw it, I liked it.
Christopher Nolan is, you know, he's got some cred.
So that
could be good.
Yeah.
We got Dumb and Dumber 2.
Dumb and Dumber. This is.
Well, I saw the trailer, and when it first like came on, and we knew what it was, we both looked at each other like, "Oh God damn it!"
Oh man, come on! And then,
despite ourselves, we were laughing so hard by the end of the trailer.
It was making me laugh, and I didn't really like the first one that much. I didn't
like the first one that much either.
I didn't, but I've seen it here and there, and I'm like, okay, I mean, it can be funny, but for God's sake, I mean, unless the only funny parts of this movie are in the trailer, and they magically managed to put all the best jokes in the trailer.
They did that with Men in Black too.
That's true, but it looks a lot like. I mean, the way 21 Jump Street, everyone was like, no way, and that movie was way funnier.
Good enough
to
support a sequel, which was also hilarious.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I'll probably see it not in the theater. Yeah. How's that? Like, it'll, but yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's November, mid-November, so. Yeah.
So what's coming out on DVD?
Well,
is there something else in the theater?
There's two movies. I want to talk about. The first of the Hunger Games finale.
Yeah.
Oh, Mockingjay.
And then...
it's going to be so sad. That's Philip Seymour Hoffman's last role.
Yeah, it is.
It is. And it's a good one, though.
I liked him in episode 2.
I don't know how much they got to film. I mean, depending on how much they filmed.
My understanding is there was not a lot of his part left to be filmed.
There wasn't a lot left, yeah.
The And then The Last Hobbit of the, for some reason, Hobbit trilogy.
And you know, I'm not happy with it, and yet I do want to see it.
Here's why I'm excited for the last one. Stick with me on this. What's going to happen is the three Hobbit movies will be out in high def, and some fan is going to make a fan edit where they remove all the Silmarillion stuff, which is great to see, ruins the pace of the movie.
All the elf-human love story. Like,
and what we're going to end up with is a fan edit that's just The Hobbit and not fucking anything else. And it's going to be 2.5 hours long, and it's going to be fucking amazing.
That's what they should call it. The Hobbit, colon, and not fucking anything else. That would be a great
movie I want to see.
I want to see that. Now, the other thing that I was noticing is just looking through the list, The Imitation Game.
Oh, yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch as Alan Turing.
I just heard about that on NPR last night. That's
kind of excites me.
Yeah, and I didn't know what The Imitation Game referred to listening to. Yeah, well, it's because Lady Lovelace said that machines would never think because they could never have a soul because she was Lord Byron's daughter.
Yeah,
and I was interested. The whole thing was really great last night. So Lord Byron was a poet and a horrible womanizer, and because of his poetry and alcoholism and all that, and so his I guess baby mama, Ada Lovelace's mother, was like, not my child. You will not be a poet. Like, you will not go into the arts. You're going to learn math and science. And sent her into all math and science. Yep. And then so she really felt that the best computer programmers blended the two a little bit because she had, as they say, the soul of a poet, you know, and the mind of a mathematician. But she said that that computers could only ever imitate humans. They could never actually like think for themselves, and so that's where the imitation game, that's why Turing named it the imitation game, was to see if it would fool you or I thought that was neat, and then I found out there was a movie.
Of course, knowing the story of Turing,
Benedict Cumberbatch,
it's gonna have a really sad ending.
Anyway,
I'm still, and the other thing I'm going to mention, even though I have to say my hunch is that it's going to be really, really awful.
Ooh.
Is Exodus, Gods and Kings. And when we talked a few podcasts ago about my favorite book of the Bible, which is Exodus.
Right.
This is Ridley Scott doing
Exodus.
The story of Moses with Christian Bale.
Oh, God.
Will there be aliens?
I don't know.
Will aliens come on?
It's actually the exact same script they're going to use for Prometheus 2.
It sounds like a complete mess.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't wait.
I like Christian Bale, and I have yet to see Christian Bale in something where he wasn't the best part. And he saves even clunky scripts and clunky
writing.
Nothing
is bad because of Christian Bale.
Right. Honestly, I would say things are often better because of Christian Bale. And I am willing to see that.
Christian Bale's totally Moses.
But is Ridley Scott a theist?
Joel Edgerton.
I mean,
yes,
I know he had his alien
is.
Space cum gods theory.
Yeah.
Joel Edgerton
is Ramses, which...
I don't know who that is. But I bet he's a dick. Because Ramses, right? Right, guys? Ramses. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
So,
heart hardened.
So anyway,
DVDs. What's coming out on DVD?
What has come out recently that I'm just going to bring up, I will say this in a non-spoiler way because you guys haven't seen this movie yet, but Edge of Tomorrow, which, you know, I don't want to oversell it because I'm not trying to say it's a great movie, but it's way better.
It's a fun movie.
Than I thought it was going to be.
That's what everyone says.
That's what everyone says, yeah.
It's you know, the best, the descriptions, you've probably heard the descriptions, but I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to spoil anything about it. It's got Tom Cruise in it, and if you hate Tom Cruise, you'll probably hate Tom Cruise, but
don't
you
know,
whatever.
Yeah. But I think it's a really, really solid film. A lot of geeks did not give it the attention that I think it really deserved. And that's
maybe
too bad.
Be a slow starter.
Yeah, it's also got Emily Blunt, who's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
I think she's really good. And I just, it's out on DVD, and I really, if you didn't give it a chance in theaters, I just think you should take the time to give it a shot.
Our plan is to watch it this weekend for sure. Like, that's, it was actually already on the plan, because as soon as it comes out on DVD, it's available on demand.
Yeah.
And so that was absolutely the goal.
I picked it up on DVD today, and if I didn't have too much shit to do tonight, that would be my plan, would be to watch that.
Today, our copy of Rick and Morty arrived.
Rick and
the
Morty.
First season of Rick and Morty.
It is so fucked up and awesomely funny. Like, it's if you like Adult Swim cartoons,
it's Starburns, right? Stantinopoulos.
Yep, it's Dino Stantinopoulos, and it's based on a short someone did.
No, it's the guy that did the voice of Lemon Grab. He's the writer. It's his thing.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we talked about this before, but it was a short that was actually based on Back to the Future.
A
parody of that. And it was called Doc and Marty.
M-A-H-R-T-I.
And it was done with this, like, you know, whatever. But they changed it to Rick and Morty. It's old scientist grandpa with his young grandson who is just helpless and dumb. And like,
Right, yeah.
So it's very good. It's on DVD. You should watch it.
I'm excited to watch it uncensored.
Yeah.
But the commentary tracks, they have Robert Kirkman, who's Invincible, the guy
that's
who created Walking Dead. Pendleton Ward, the creator of Adventure Time.
Yep.
God, I can't remember. There were like three other names.
I can't remember either.
It was like, these are the people we got to do the commentary with us, and every single name, it was like, what the fuck? That's amazing. I'm excited for that.
TV, just real quickly, that
I've been watching Gotham.
Yeah,
and
that's,
I think it's pretty solid. You know, it's got to kind of find its way a little bit, but I'm liking the basic premise of it.
We saw the first episode. It was really heavy-handed, but I didn't hate it.
A little cheesy foreshadowing, but I don't mind that.
Comics are
I don't mind cheesy foreshadowing.
The critique I had is there's this chase scene where they've got the camera attached to the front of Gordon, so you get like this point of view shot of his face as he's running, and it's just like, well, that was dumb.
Blair Witch style?
Yeah. And that was dumb, but I think Gordon is looking like an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a really interesting take on Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah,
they
Donald
do.
Donald Logue too. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like Donald Logue, and I like the state version of a mortician, the coroner, Edward Nygma.
Yes.
is good.
So,
and it's one of those shows
is
where
it
if
the
you
mortician?
Know, he's not the he's the I think he's the ME, he's the medical examiner.
Ah.
So when they say names of people, if you know them, you're like,
there's that Penny Arcade comic
where
it was like, I'm tired of all your riddles, Edward Nygma. Just give it to me straight. I don't want any play any guessing games and riddles with you. Riddles. And then the character looks out, breaking the fourth wall, and does this big, huge, exaggerated wink. And then points his thumb over to the guy and goes, he's the Riddler.
American Horror Story starts Wednesday, which tomorrow for us, but for you guys, it just started
last
Wednesday.
Freak Show.
Freak Show. It looks amazing.
It's the only season to ever have a character return.
That's exciting, and also they did hire a lot of, I mean, we'll just say freaks. They hired a bunch of actors who genuinely, they're like a real pinhead. They have a guy, they did an interview with him.
Yeah.
Who's got, you know, little teeny arms and legs, kind of a thing. Probably a thalidomide baby is what it looks like. But it looks great. Jessica Lange, of course, is in it.
Yeah, she's
and
awesome.
She's always fucking flawless.
And what's her name from that cyberpunk movie, Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett. Yeah. Isn't it again? She was Strange in the last
Days.
One.
Is that the movie Strange you're thinking of? Because Strange Days is awesome, and we should mention the name of the movie.
Yeah.
So there's lots of other stuff, but I think we're running.
Yeah. Five questions.
Yeah. Oh. We're going to go to five questions. But
what are you excited for?
Yeah. Tell us what you're excited about. If we missed the thing that you've been super salivating over, we want to hear. And as always, make sure you check out the stuff that we mentioned if any of it sounds good to you. What?
That fucking Rothfuss book comes out at the end of this month.
Oh, the
Something. The Way of Silent Things.
Yeah, the Ari book.
Yeah, Regard for Silent
Regard
Things.
Regard for Silent Things.
Oh, God damn it.
About books. Excited about that, yeah.
There are also books.
There's a Stephen King book coming out. God damn it. All right.
We read things.
Books. All right. So we have five questions. They are from listener, hang on, I'm pulling them up. Listener Felicity Cousinitz, who has written in, and these are, I'm going to read them.
Great. Okay. Question number one, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I'm going to cheat and reach back a little farther than 30 days.
That's all right, because it's way 30 days before you
It's okay,
because
atheists don't have morals.
because the film that has made the most lasting impact on me recently is Philomena.
Oh, yeah.
While it has some funny character moments, it is primarily a very sad, true story about an Irish woman who became pregnant as a teenager, was forced to labor at a convent, and had her child taken away from her. Judi Dench is amazing as always in the title role. Steve Coogan, known for his comedy but doing great dramatic work here, portrays journalist Martin Sixsmith and co-wrote the screenplay based on Martin Sixsmith's book. The film left me with even more contempt for the Catholic Church than I already had, which is saying something.
Yeah, I saw that movie. It's excellent. I keep wanting to have us do that as like a movie episode just because...
I'd see that.
The thing is that everything that you've heard about the Magdalene laundries, which, you know, pissed the fuck out of you, this will just make you want to find somebody that was involved and tear out their heart.
I would happily watch that because I mean, there was a storyline like that on Sons of Anarchy that had me just enraged.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's also, I mean, it's a good movie and it's a very dramatic movie and all that, but really from an atheist perspective, there's some good stuff to talk about. So question number two, what is your favorite atheist character?
This is what prompted me to finally write in, as the HBO miniseries True Detective has just finished airing, and I have a contender that hopefully no one has named yet. Matthew McConaughey co-stars as Rust Cole, a disillusioned police detective who talks a lot about his atheistic philosophy and expresses contempt for religion.
And his humanity.
Yeah. I mean, his outlook on life plays heavily into the story as he and his partner, Woody Harrelson, investigate a ritualized murder that may be connected to a string of disappearances and is possibly linked to a local church. He's not exactly a good role model, not a requirement for favorite, I realize. And without spoiling too much, he experiences a change in perspective that may ultimately disqualify him.
It's hard to say. It's really left open. But
nevertheless, he is the most interesting character, period, that I have seen on TV in a long time.
The world, we're bad men, Marty, but the world needs bad men to keep the other bad men away.
The whole concept.
It's just a great series.
I can't even tell you how many times I've said time is a flat circle to somebody and meant
it. Comes
like,
up a lot.
It does. Like, it's...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Those kids have been in that room before, and they'll be in that room again. And it's just like, fuck! That's just so fucked up.
That's a great show, great character.
Yeah.
Question number three, what is your geekiest hobby?
I realize that being a Doctor Who fan alone no longer qualifies as the show has achieved such popularity. But I am an old school fan from a time when women in fandom were few and far between. I watched the classic series on PBS from my early teenage years, got my dad and brother into the show as well, and ultimately managed to see every episode that still exists. During the time the show was off the air, I got heavily into the original novels, became heavily involved in online fandom, and started participating in panels about the books at Gallifrey One, an annual convention in LA that I have now attended for 14 consecutive years. When I meet fans who came to Doctor Who with the new series, they often express awe at how long I've been involved. I like to think it's partly due to my looking younger than my age, but who am I kidding? I'm just a huge geek.
Yeah, that's great.
As someone who came in new, not just came in new, but like really didn't come in until Rose was gone. I mean, really.
You kind of skipped Eccleston.
I skipped Eccleston. I've seen Rose piecemeal here and there, but mostly I started watching the night when you and I were dating and we went over to... that place, Lois's, and you guys were watching the finale with Rose.
Sure.
And everyone was like crying
on the beach.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, but I do have awe for that. Like, I do regret that I don't have that. That's a little bit of geek cred I can never have, you know, yeah. that I grew you know, up and with
I,
that.
I got into Doctor Who when he was on PBS, same time period. But mm-hmm. I was never a hardcore Doctor Who fan. Yeah. I liked the show. But when it went off the air, it wasn't like I sought out every yeah. piece of Doctor yeah, Who.
I enjoyed it as a kid, but I wasn't diehard or anything. Yeah. I'm still yeah. not. So, I still like it.
So yeah. win. All right. Yeah. What's your favorite sandwich? Question number four.
The answer is different than the one I would have given you about 6 months ago, as I have recently become a vegetarian. Ah. A sandwich I have always liked but has now become my go-to when we eat out is portobello mushroom on focaccia. Mm. Most local restaurants that serve sandwiches have some variation on this. My favorite version is at a restaurant near the Theater District in Boston, where we often go to see concerts and comedy shows. The mushroom is marinated, grilled, and topped with mixed greens, roasted red peppers, Brisson cheese, and pesto. God, that sounds good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Other restaurants may use different cheese, like mozzarella, and omit the pesto, and I'm fine with that, but this particular sandwich is the one that I fantasize about.
I do like portobello as a base for a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's a really good mushroom.
Agreed.
Like a big, huge, patty-sized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love them.
Yeah. All right.
Question number five. What's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism?
My parents came from different faiths. Mom was raised Presbyterian, Dad was raised Jewish, and decided to give their kids a secular upbringing. Hmm. I grew up and still live in a very liberal area of the country, and I work in a scientific field. All this means I never really experienced any pushback from religious people, but I also didn't have a real coming out as atheist since I never had a God belief to begin with. I have to reach way back to my early 20s when I was discussing my reasons for my lack of belief with a fellow atheist online. I expressed that I couldn't believe in a God that would let horrible things like genocide happen. He told me I wasn't an atheist for the, quote, right reasons, because I hadn't arrived at it by, quote, reason and logic. I think back on that exchange to this day when I see people who insist on, quote, pure atheism, or what P.Z. Myers calls dictionary atheism, and refuse to be, quote, tainted with social justice issues. Let's just say I'm not one of those people, and my atheist activism will always be motivated by my empathy for the people whose lives are most negatively impacted by religion: women, LGBT individuals, people of color, and the poor.
Yep.
Yeah, that well, and that's such a fucking stupid thing to say. It's like, what the fuck does real atheist mean? Real atheist means I don't believe in God.
Right.
Boom.
That's all it means.
Yeah.
And that's when people were freaking out about the atheism plus thing. That's one of the things I wanted to be like, what the fuck do you care?
Yeah.
Like,
what's your fucking
seriously?
Problem?
Seriously.
Yeah.
I just want to read this.
If it's not your thing, don't do your thing.
Yeah, people want to work towards a goal with common belief people and whatever.
Real quick, I want to read this. Thanks for making a podcast I look forward to every week. Shameless plug, my husband co-hosts The Flopcast, a weekly show about various pop culture and geeky interests. Hmm. He did some live recording at MarsCon right in your neck of the woods. Yeah, MarsCon.
Yeah.
I make occasional appearances on the show, and I maintain the website at flopcast.net.
So we totally are pitching for that.
We are, Thanks for listening, Cousinits. We'll post a link in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
For those of you that don't know, MarsCon is a poor man's convergence.
It really is. It's convergence. It's still a party con, but it's way downscaled. It's a lot more chill.
You know, it's more chill than convergence.
And they're more into filk. Than convergence.
Yeah, there's
big
more parody and fan stuff, and it's definitely. We went one year. We had a great time. I mean, we had a great time. They do day passes, so if you're butthurt about convergence not doing day passes, you can get your fucking day pass at MarsCon.
They started the exact, basically the exact same time as convergence.
Yeah.
And have gone
born out of the fires of
parallel evolutionary traits.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks everyone. Write into us with your answers to our five questions at fivequestions@geekswithoutgod.com. You can also write to any of us at Tim, Molly, or Nick at geekswithoutgod.com. We love it if you comment on Facebook and on the website. We love if you share, like us on Facebook, tweet us. All that good stuff.
Social media.
Yeah, social media us. Like, social media us so hard, you guys. Are you on Elo? Nick and I are on Elo. I don't know. I don't know what it's doing.
I can't fucking get onto Elo. I'm having the biggest fucking problem getting onto Elo.
Just Elo it. And
it's the Comic Sans.
I don't get it.
I won't accept my password.
I don't get what it is right now, but maybe we'll put Geeks Without God on Elo, and then there will be that as well.
It's people only right now.
And, it's people only? We're people. Never mind. Fuck Elo. All right. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Seriously, though, you guys? I'm really excited for that Stephen King book.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Never mind, fuck Ello. That's the name of the podcast.